Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. You can check me on the Twitter at TotalTitter and NeilHaley.com. I'm just excited about NeilHaley.com. Check it out, truly. I don't promote it enough. My web team is doing a phenomenal job with the website. After moving, I have my tutoring business, TotalTutor.net, and I'm like, wow, okay. We continue to make a nice platform to listen to all the great celebrity interviews. And Coach, I'm excited to welcome to the program WPL Hall of Famer, UNLV running reb, City League Hall of Famer, Coach Karen, and ESPN analyst, Coach Karen Hall. Coach, you know, I love Fridays, and you just continue for our radio program to bring the best. And some people that, you know, we want to know what's going on with them, and that's always what you do, Coach. Only Coach is able to find those people, right, Coach?
Hey, Neil. Yeah, you know, like you, we love Fridays, and it's amazing the awesome people in the world of athletic and sports that have tremendous stories, and today's no different. So I'd like to welcome our guest for our show today. He had a 15-year career as a Pittsburgh Steeler public address announcer. Neil, how fun must that be? So, Randy Cosgrove, welcome to the Neil Haley Show. Not good to have you on.
Karen and Neil, thank you so much. My pleasure, and I'm very honored to be asked to be on your show.
Oh, absolutely. Good. Well, we appreciate it.
Before I want to say, Coach, yeah. He has the voice. He has the voice that will never forget.
Yeah.
You never, ever forget that voice. Yeah, absolutely.
But, and you can see how much, obviously the voice is ingrained and trained, because when he spoke, the amplify, like, here we go again, right? So, Randy, we're going to get to that part of who you are, but we want to know about your career in athletics. Like, and I know you had an administrative career. So can you start with, like, were you a former basketball player, football player, former athlete in high school?
Oh, absolutely, and very proud of what I accomplished, on my high school career. I went to Plum High School, which is on the east side of Pittsburgh, and I was the first and now only the second four-letter athlete in 1 year at Plum High School. I ended up with 10 letters. Played football, basketball, baseball, and then my senior year, they dragged me out onto the volleyball court. So I'd play baseball in the afternoon, and then go play on the volleyball team at night. And those are times I cherish at Plum High School. And I was so lucky enough to, back in 2009, they inducted me into the Plum High School Hall of Fame. So that's kind of where it all started. I went to Ashland College, which is now Ashland University, in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Played baseball there, started a teaching career that then included administrative work at Robert Morris. Coached baseball for over 40 years at many different levels. Coached some football and basketball as well. Karen mentioned, I did have quite a bit of administrative work to do. I did a lot of radio and public relations, and now I'm on the senior side of life, and I'm a free agent. So.
Hey, you look great, Randy, though.
Anybody wants to call a free agent, I'll give them my number.
We hear you. So, hey, Randy, so the 10-lettered athlete, you went into education. So we always like to get that academic component, because you were quite busy at the high school level as a student athlete, because we have all types of listeners. So what would you say to a student athlete, whether high school or college, listening right now, in regards to being able to play at a high level of sports and academically create that balance between academics and athletics?
Great, great question. Let me tell you, I was a 4.0 student. 1.0 as a freshman, 1.0 as a sophomore. You had them all up, I was a 4.0. That's a joke. But it's real. I use that a lot at banquets. But believe me, the best recommendation I could give a young person and their parents is to manage your time, because you can do a lot of things at one time. As long as you manage your time, you're disciplined, and you understand what the important things really are. And that goes as far as the parents as well, because It's so easy for a kid to get involved in, you know, the video games and all the other distractions that a kid has today. But if they put their time and effort into their community service and athletics, it makes for a great, well-rounded career. And I'm a big believer in multi-sport athletes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And Randy, when you talk about a teaching career, I think that helps in your broadcasting for sure. I look back at I'm not trained in broadcasting at all. Randy, I was a school teacher and a performer before being a school teacher, meaning a former professional wrestler. So I learned some of the ins and outs of how performance, but teaching taught me the way to perform. Teaching taught me the ability to speak for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. And I think that that's why I can go on the radio, do television, public speak, and be able to do it because of all the practice I had talking to my students. Would you say that's the same thing kind of a little bit, Randy, as well?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll even take it one step farther. You know, a lot of your great coaches were teachers, and not just at the high school level but beyond, because just like in the classroom, when you're a teacher, you're dealing with 20, 25, 30 students in one class setting. So not only do you have to get a very specific curriculum down, now you got to deal with all the individualism that comes with those kids. Mm-hmm. Same thing in coaching. You set down rules as a coach, and this is what we're going to do, and this is our strategy. But each kid, male or female, there's a different way to handle each kid because they're individuals. So you have to find that fine balance between this is the way we're going to do it, and, well, Johnny has this issue or this kid has this issue, and you've got to be able to deal with everything. So that's a great analogy.
Yeah, and you talk about the engagement piece of that goes along on both sides, where you, as teacher and as coach, you have to be able to find out how to relate with each and every individual to be successful in front of the classroom. And when you talk about sports, it becomes a win-loss. So that's a fine balance in itself, Neil, Randy.
Exactly. Yep. And some of my better friends who are coaches, some of them either were never married or some of them have ever had kids. And it's got to be a very difficult task, especially to be a coach that has never had kids in their family, because you're dealing with kids. And to me, you're a much better coach if you've had the experience of having children in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, and I think that's for sure. And that's where they don't relate. They're not able to relate, Randy, to as a coach or teacher when they first start in the profession if they've never had children or understand specifically what moms deal with and dads deal with on a daily basis, right, Randy? That's sure, or had a tight-knit family.
I mean, that's an experience that any coach that has never gone through will miss, because that isn't part of something that they can use to relate to other coaches or to other players, because they don't have that experience. And if you go through, whether it's male or female, you go through so many experiences as a child going through with their parent. And if that parent's a coach, man, you can impart that on so many other people once you have that experience.
So it seems like you took that experience from the playing days to your teaching days, and then you paralleled yourself to move into athletic administration. So you changed careers. What was happening in your thoughts of leaving education as far as the classroom and moving into university studying in the world of communications?
You know, that's a great question as well, because sometimes I think back and say, you know, if I had just stayed in teaching when I started, and I had a decision to make back when I was, you know, 22 years old. I had the opportunity to be offered a baseball contract by the Pirates. I wasn't a high draft pick, but I was at least offered a chance to sign a free agent contract. And I was also getting married in August. So here I am with a teaching degree. I'm being offered a contract to go back and teach at the high school I went through, but I'm also getting married in August, and we'll should I take the teaching degree and job, or should I go for it and try to make that 1 million chance of making the major leagues in baseball? And I chose to take the teaching degree and get married. And not that I regret it, but you always wonder back in your mind, what would have happened if? And that's an answer that we'll never have, but at least I can say I was given that offer by the Pirates.
Yes.
Anyway, after I taught for 9 years, I decided I'd like the administrative and the college end of things, and I had that opportunity to do not only administrative work, but I also did all the radio broadcasts at Robert Morris Basketball for 9 years. And that was a tremendous experience because we had a chance to go to 2 NCAA tournaments during that time period. So that was a great experience.
And when you were talking about the experience doing Robert Morris Basketball, that's an interesting thing because it's so higher. You know what I mean? Like the ability to stay on point throughout when you're announcing and making sure that the play-by-play and how things go, and you never know what's the next process, right?
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for the world because of the great experience. I mean, I had the chance because of that being with Robert Morris, not only as an administrator, but then doing the broadcast, to sit in the locker room after Bobby Knight came down to Matt Frigenik's locker room when Robert Morris lost to Indiana in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Nashville. And he said to Matt, he said, "Could I talk to all your kids?" And he said, "Sure." So there was probably 25 of us between the players, the coaches, the administrators, and a few other people that were allowed to be in the locker room. And he gave a tremendous 5-minute talk about this is not something that you should be looking for, a disappointment. You just played the NCAA tournament. The year before, they came off the NCAA championship, Indiana did. And he said, this is an experience, whether you lose by 60 or win by one, this is an experience you'll never regret. And for me to sit there and listen to Bobby Knight, whether you like him or not or respect him or not, the man knows what he's talking about. And that was a great experience. And then the next year we were able to win an NCAA tournament game against Georgia Southern before losing to Purdue by 2 down at South Florida. So, those Robert Morris days I will never, ever forget, and I will cherish them.
So how did you take your Robert Morris broadcast experience and calling the games and, like you just gave us the Bobby Knight story? So how did you take all that and move forward in your broadcast career in terms of, because you made another shift. Like you were making some shifts in your career, broadcast, and you were AD and, and then the PA. So what was happening in those spaces of your career between Robert Morris and becoming a PA?
I guess I was one of those guys that didn't want to stay seated a long time, I had urges to do different things, and I never had one course in broadcasting. I did some radio work when I was in college, and I did a talk show when I was in college. So I had that experience, and I was a self-made broadcaster and PR kind of guy because my background was in education. I was a teacher.
Right.
And it's just something that I enjoyed. And the timing was right when they asked me to take over a full-time sports information assistant AD's job at Robert Morris, but also do the broadcast. So, I kind of made myself into that. And maybe in the long run, that's better. Because any advice I can give a young kid, especially if they want to get into any type of communications or any world anyway, either, is get experience. Go do whatever you can do, even if you have to volunteer. Take an internship that doesn't pay you money. Get the experience because you never know where you're going to end up.
Yes.
So true. And that's interesting, Randy, when you talk about those opportunities that just come up. When I started in my radio network and television, now I'm at 120-plus stations, I started at WRCT. I'm still on 88.3
in Education
Talk Show. Yeah, so I learned basically but I also had a wrestling talk show 15 years ago as a co-host and also a pro wrestling and also a TV show. So I got experience on the fly as well. And I think that when you look at, and that's before teaching, but if you look at, there's just something about, I don't know that you have this ability and this ability to talk to people and to connect to people, because there's so many people that have gone through broadcasting school. You listen to their talk shows and you're like, there's nothing different about them at all. They're all the same. They're all just specifically, but the best hosts, the best people that have the best voices sometimes have something familiar. I was watching the Boston Celtics, Los Angeles Lakers, 30 for 30 last night. And remember the announcer for the Celtics? He definitely didn't come from the broadcasting school, did he, Randy? But everyone connected to him.
You're talking about Johnny Most.
Yes, yes. I think it was Johnny.
Oh, yeah. He was a classic. Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of that 30 for 30 over the last week or two. You're right. And regardless of what occupation you're in, you got to be able to communicate with people. Whether you're in the communications field or not, communicating with people is something that's so important. And we know today's world, kids don't communicate anymore. You know, I'll see them sitting texting across the chair from the chair to the living room sofa rather than talking to people one-on-one. And it's crazy. So if you're a good communicator, you can be a good coach, a good teacher, a good businessman, a good welder. It doesn't matter if you're a good communicator. And that is something that isn't necessarily taught to you in a textbook. It's something that usually comes natural.
Well, it's interesting from both of your perspectives, because I am the broadcast major, and I would totally agree. So I listened to your story as a self-made broadcaster, which you did an awesome job, you know, but it's interesting because I said, you're welcome. I sat in that classroom, and you know, I understand when you say, you know, there's people out there that you can think, did they go to a broadcast school? What experience did they have? Because in that form of communication, it comes off with no appeal. There's a message there, but it's not exciting to you. They don't capture. And it goes back to that teacher experience we're talking about of engagement. You got to engage your audience. And, Randy, you went from a radio to engaging millions of people in the stadium. You know, so how did you leverage that leap into, listeners of a basketball game to a PA announcer? Like, what is that experience entail?
Well, you know, when I was asked to be the public address announcer for the Steelers, number one, it was a great honor, and I had done a lot of radio. I had done internal PA in the press box at both Three River Stadium and also at the University of Pittsburgh for a time, and I was asked if I would be interested in doing the outside PA. And, of course, I jumped on it and had no idea if I was going to be any good or not, had no idea how the fans would react to me. And plus, you also have to balance, well, here's what Mr. Rooney wants here, how he wants it done. You know, we don't want, you know, a sideline WWF type of show, but we want you to be enthusiastic. So my first couple years, I was always leery. I want to make sure I don't step over the line and do something they didn't want. And if I did, they would let me know. And if I didn't, sometimes he would say, it's okay, start taking the gloves off a little bit. We want to wind things up. So as the Steelers got better and better through the time of Heinz Field, they allowed me to be a little bit more, you know, up and up and outgoing. And there's a motorcycle Fiero going by me right now. I saw them before. There's at least 150 motorcycles just left the funeral home, so that's the noise you might hear. But it was a great experience, and I got to know so many wonderful people. The Rooneys are absolutely wonderful people. Dan was just the way everyone thought he was, and I had so much good things to say. I would never say one bad thing about the Rooneys. They're tremendous people.
Now, Randy, what was the biggest game you called, you think, that was the greatest memory in Pittsburgh, calling? Give us that.
Boy, that's a great question. Number one, I used to love the introductions because that gave me a chance to show my personality. And the best of all, the most fun I ever had was when, you know, sometimes they'd introduce the offense, sometimes they'd introduce the defense, and some days they'd do special teams at least once a year. And when they would introduce the defense, that was the best time I had because I had a chance to introduce Troy Polamalu, and he was the last one defensively. They always brought him out last. And, you know, the crowd, as you know, remember, it went crazy. An individual game, I'd say probably the game with the snow when Bettis ran over Urlacher to push them on to the playoffs, if you remember that game late in December, because the crowd was absolutely crazy. And when Bettis knocked them over, it was that probably was the one individual highlight that I remember the best. You know, there were so many with Roethlisberger and Hines Ward and those guys, but that's the one that I remember the most.
Oh, the Bettis, know, when he did that. Yeah, for sure.
So have you ever had any of those guys come up later, you know, now that their career, some of their careers are over? And I'm sure they didn't hear much, or they should not have heard too much happening as far as where you, you know, the PA. But did you ever get any feedback from any of those guys and what they heard or what people told them they heard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the ones that you knew of, and you know, not that I would go down to the locker room very often. I would go down, obviously, after game day when it was a home game and, you know, spend some time and talk. But there were some people that once they met you, they never forgot to say hello, or they never failed to say, you know, great job or whatever. And that's the way the Rooneys were, exactly the same way. But, no, Polamalu was great. Hines Ward never forgot who you were. And there's just a lot of them. And when Troy Polamalu went out to the public, he just transcended, you know, a good feeling about people. And I'll never forget, there was a time that he was at a local restaurant, and he came in to dinner with his wife. It was up on Mount Washington. And if I wouldn't have seen this myself, I would question it, but I saw it myself. So there's probably three-quarters of the restaurant full, and obviously, there's Troy Polamalu and his wife. So they want autographs, and he said, "Hey, folks, I'm having dinner with my wife, respectfully, till I'm ready to leave, and I'll sign autographs." So he had his dinner and, you know, did not get bothered the rest of dinner. And so it's getting close to the end, and there was probably close to capacity now at the restaurant. And he got up and went to the restroom. And after 10, 15 minutes, he didn't come back. And the crowd of people were saying, he stiffed us. The maitre d' comes over, and he said, "Mr. Polamalu was called away." His wife was still there. "Mr. Polamalu was called away, but he wanted me to let everybody know he's picked up all of your checks."
Wow.
And that's the kind of guy he was. That's the kind of guy he was. Yep, I saw it with my own eyes.
Neil, were you there that night? Neil,
yes,
were you having dinner that night up there?
No. That would be great. That would be great. So, and did you, Randy, did you get to really get to know some? Did you get to know some of the players, especially, like, tell us that preparation of doing, being the play-by-play. I mean, the guy at the guy at the game, the Steeler game. Did you ever go to get in the locker room, talk to some of the players sometimes, or how did that work in preparation?
I would. In preparation, my preparation was usually done via the internet and getting all the notes and everything from the Steelers and the opposing team. Because, you know, if you're a full-time broadcaster and or a media writer or whatever, you're down there every day. So I didn't have that opportunity. However, you know, I would come down at home games after the game and, you know, stand around and talk to a few guys and listen to what they had to say, which gave me a much better perspective on their individual situations because, you know, I only worked for the Steelers at that time 12 days a year, 2 preseason games and, you know, the 10 times a year and hopefully a playoff game or two. So I was more from a distance, to be honest with you. But I still, many of them, and I said they were always very nice to me. And it just was an experience that you always felt welcome. You never were given, you know, an opportunity to say, well, they shunned me. No, they were great individual people like you would expect.
Tremendous opportunities you've had, Randy. I mean, from, you know, the start of your career as an athlete and as you moved up. Just great opportunities have come past your way.
There's no question. I feel blessed. I wouldn't trade it for anything, regardless of any bumps and bruises that, you know, come along the road. The experiences I've had, they're blessed, and there's nothing I could say. As I said, I would never say anything bad about the Rooneys. I went to Mr. Rooney's funeral, saw the tremendous respect that he was given by not only former players, but office people and just the public in general, because he was truly what you saw is what you got with Mr. Rooney, and that's their whole way to deal business. And a very, very good friend of mine is Larry Richard, and he now does the PA, and I love Larry to death, and hopefully someday soon, you know, he'll get his just rewards in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, because Larry does a lot of things as well.
Well, congratulations to you.
Absolutely, Randy. Now, who was your favorite steward to call when they came out of the tunnel?
Oh, definitely Palomalo. Definitely Palomalo. Roethlisberger was good. But if you want me to, I'll do a little square Palomalo for you. That's strong safety from Southern Cal, number 43, Troy Palomalo.
That's great.
Fantastic.
give us a prediction. The Steelers this year. Do you think we're gonna continue this City of Champions, and the Steelers are gonna win this year?
I think they're gonna be very, very good. Even if Bryant doesn't come back, which I think he's finally, you know, grown up and realized what it's all about. They're going to be very good. I think they have a core of receivers that's going to provide a tremendous amount of competition in training camp. I love the new number one draft pick. He comes from a great, great pedigree. And, you know, he will play 1 year sharing time with James Harrison. But Watt is the real deal. They love him. I think they've drafted a couple defensive backs that have size and have athletic ability, and cornerback has been one of their real strengths, or rather real weaknesses, but I think it's becoming a strength in the next year or two. It's going to get better. Their linebacking core is very, very good again. Shazier is as good as anyone in the middle in the league. And, of course, what can you say about Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown? So, I mean, they've got it all. They just have to put it together and not do a lot of stupid things, and make sure that they stay focused, because that's the biggest thing. To be in that situation and win it, you got to be very focused. And on top of that, you got to find a way to beat Tom Brady.
That all can be done, right? That's definitely all can be done, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I believe if we had another wide receiver, we beat New England, because again, we just didn't get the ball into the end zone, and you can't do that against the Patriots and win. That's it.
The other key factor for them to win it, I think it's really, really important that somehow they get the home field advantage over the Patriots.
Having them
come here is a lot different than going up there, because they just have a terrible record against Brady and the Patriots up there. Down here, I think they got a legitimate shot, but they have to take care of that themselves and getting that number one or number two seed spot.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Randy, is there any place we can find information on you? I Google you, right? That's pretty much it, right?
Well, I tell you what, off the air, I'm glad you give me my email also, give you a phone number. Karen has my phone number. I've enjoyed this immensely. I appreciate the opportunity. And if you ever need a fill-in someday to come and sit, be on the show, just give me a call. I'd love to do it, because I always enjoy doing talk shows. So I'm always there for an opportunity as a backup.
All right, well, that's perfect. You can co-host if Coach can't make it sometimes, right, Coach? You got yourself a sub.
Yeah. I mean, and what a well-renowned sub I have.
Well, Karen, I want to say this to you. I appreciate everything that you have done in the local sports world. You've been a major, major influence to a lot of people. And many of the people, unfortunately, don't know all that you've done. But the people that know about sports and the people that care about young people know what you've done and what you will continue to do. So my hat's off to you.
Thank you, Randy.
All right.
Appreciate that very much.
All right. Good talking to you guys. Take care now.
Neil, thank you so much. Randy. I appreciate it. Okay, have a
You're
great
welcome.
Day.
Take care. Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah. You're listening to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.